So anyone seen that movie? It's a little bit old. Some of you weren't born, 2004. Who was alive in 2004? Okay, so a little Ashton Kutcher movie there called The Butterfly Effect. Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of a heads up what the movie was about. Here we go.
All I know is that by reading these journals, I might be able to get Kaylee back.
I'd think twice about what you're doing. You could wake up a lot more messed up than you are now.
I haven't seen yourselves like this before.
But what if you could go back in time?
You are completely relaxed. Think of it like a movie. You can pause, rewind, or slow down.
Could you save the one person that mattered the most?
I told you. Every time I try to go back in time and help someone, everything just goes wrong.
The Butterfly Effect.
Change one thing, change everything. I want you to look really closely now at this clip. It was made by guys that design games to show what they can do with graphics. But I want you to watch the butterfly. Would you do that? Don't miss it. Here we go. A little bit of bubble gum. A little butterfly. A little rolling canister. Little things that can have incredible effects. I had a butterfly effect when I was about 8. I was dying. Doctors had said that was it. I'm not going to make it. You know, leukemia, whatever it was that was happening with me. And some man of God flew from Joburg down to Durban to Addington Hospital, came and stood at my bedside and prayed and said, this is not the end. This is not going to happen. And I was cured. And in fact, when I applied to Bible college a few years later, someone picked up the phone, took over from the secretary and said, you don't have to come for an interview. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I prayed for you when you were 8 in Durban Hospital, and I'm now the principal of the Bible school, and I prophesied that you would be in full-time ministry. And my mum just kept that quiet all those years because she didn't want to shape my life beyond what God was leading. That was a butterfly effect, don't you agree? Do you think my life would have been a bit different if I died? Do you think a few things would be different? That was a big butterfly effect, not because I married the most beautiful butterfly in Durban. Big hair, it was the 80s, please don't mock. But that, do you think that changed my life just a little bit? A little bit? Heck, a lot. Huge. Everything changed. That was opening our lives to 3 people. Sorry, Ash, you're going to kill me for that old photograph. Do you think having children changes your life a little bit? Yes, it makes you broke. And other things. I remember a coffee date with this couple. I'd been in this church maybe for 3 months, 4 months, and Pastor Ian, that's Caitlin's mom and dad, said, like, can we do coffee? You must always be careful when a pastor says, let's do coffee. They're not buying you coffee for free. Even though they pay, there's an agenda. They've got something that's going to happen. And he said, could you give a couple hours of your week, maybe 3 or 4, to youth ministry? Here I am, chained to youth ministry and loving it. Butterfly moments in my life. I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I know you haven't had like 75 million years like I've had on planet Earth, and I want you to talk to them about 1 or 2 butterfly effect moments in your life where that thing made a whole big difference, okay? So I'll just try to give you some examples. What are some of your butterfly effect moments? Go. Okay. Change one thing. Change everything. So we've been changing up a few things. We've been messing with time a little bit in the series. We traveled really far back at one time. And remember there was wormholes and things that we were going through as we realized that time is just an illusion. And we saw a revelation of God. We saw a phenomenal revelation of man, if you remember. The creation of the world, the creation of man, created to please God, to serve God. We travel a little bit forward with some American guys, if you remember that week. Saw something of the horror of sin. Last week, in our time distortion, we saw something of the life of Jesus. Well, today, we're going to explore a mystery. And I'm going to give you a few clues and then see if you can figure out the mystery. Okay, so this mystery can't be seen. Keep it to yourself for a while until you're really sure, because if you're wrong, you spend eternity in hell. Well, it's, no. No, you can't really say that. It's a little bit of an exaggeration. So here's what it's like. It's a tornado. Well done. It leaves no footprints. It's a fire. Give up? Well, let me give you some more. It's a bird. It's a secret agent, not so much like Johnny English, more probably like James Bond type dude. Sorry, girls, stop fainting. It's God's secret agent. It's the missing person in that picture. Father, Son, and who? This is a huge mystery. You're never going to get it. So I'm going to just get cut to the chase. I've actually tricked you. When I said it's an it, it threw you off, right? Because you're like, no, that can't be. Well, actually, it's not an it. It's a he. It's not a thing. It's not impersonal. So we're looking today at the mystery of spirit. And so I want to begin by thinking about what is it that we know? Okay? So what do we know about the spirit? Now, I'm going to take you from Genesis to Revelation. It's going to be a long day. You did bring picnic lunches, right? We told you. It begins like this. It's going to be long because he lived forever. There was never a moment when he was not around. In fact, in Hebrews, he's called the eternal spirit. You don't get much longer lasting than eternal. Okay, none of you are called the eternal son, the eternal eternal daughter. Someone might say, a parent might say, you've been eternally bad, but that's not really true, okay? That's the ultimate diss, I guess. So when the earth was out of form and void and darkness was over the face of the deep, the Spirit of God was hovering, active, okay? Bringing forth something there in creation. I want to suggest that he gave life. Because at some point we read that God breathed the breath of life into Adam and he became, or it made him, a living being. So the Spirit of God comes into Adam and voila, he's not just a lump of clay. He energized people. He would come on people like Samson, Gideon. Remember Gideon? Woe is me, there's just little old me. I can't do anything. The Midianites are thousands. The Spirit falls on him and suddenly he's got a sword in his hand and he's defeating hundreds and thousands of Midianites. And there's a whole lot of people that for a specific task, the Spirit would come on them and then leave them. Okay, it's quite a pattern in the former testament, in the Old Testament, that he would kind of come and go. But he did surprisingly come seemingly and live in certain people. So we get, for example, Pharaoh saying, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God, and said about Joseph? He was different. He was unique. The same was said about Joshua. God's Spirit was in him like his whole life. And David. And Elijah had so much of the Spirit in him that Elisha even says, hey, give me a double portion of what you got. And he receives the mantle. He receives the same Spirit living, dwelling, inhabiting in quite a permanent fixture. There was times when the Spirit would come and he would prompt certain people and he would send them as prophets. Where's Micah? Is he here today? But Micah had said of him, I am filled with power with the Spirit of the Lord to declare to Israel his sin. So he had come and he would raise up someone, send them as prophets. They weren't always so willing. Some of the prophets were like, I don't want to do this. I'm going to have my head chopped off or something. But they responded to what God wanted them to do because of the prompting of the Spirit. We could think of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, and others who were sent, and we specifically read that it's by the Spirit of God. We read that he taught people. We saw some of this Friday night, but just before that dark passage we read on Friday, it says, you gave your good Spirit to instruct them. So God gives his Spirit to people to say, I'm going to teach you in the ways that you should go so that you can live right, live well. And we expect them to do right, but he has to come and he has to warn people. For many years you were patient with them, the prophet says. By your Spirit you admonished them through your prophets, yet they paid no attention, so you handed them over to the neighboring peoples. Remember Friday night? We're looking at the rebellion phase after the law was given. People are rebelling. It's the Spirit himself who comes and who warns people. As we jump into the New Testament, we see that he introduces Jesus. He prompts certain people like Elizabeth, Zacharias, and Simeon. And as Mary is with child, they sense prophetically that this is something really special. And through their mouths, he brings a message to the world. He impregnated Mary. I don't mean in a physical sense, I don't think. But the Bible says Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. In a supernatural act, the Spirit brings forth life. Now, it's no big deal for him to do this because in the beginning, he awakened Adam. Here comes a new Adam. We saw that last week. And he is awakened. So it wasn't Joseph's kid. It was Mary and the Holy Spirit. He comes a few years later, 30 years to be exact, and he anoints Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus was being baptized? The Spirit comes down from heaven, settles on Jesus. And he is anointed or set apart for something that he would do. He then leads Jesus to meet up with that dude who's just dark, disgusting, dirty, and dormant. The evil one in the wilderness. But it's the Spirit who leads Jesus into the wilderness. Luke chapter 4 verse 1 says that. We read that he empowered Jesus. Jesus returned from his temptation in the power of the Spirit to teach in the synagogues. He cast out demons. How? This is Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal Jesus, the wonder of Jesus. You remember last week? He does all this in the power of the Spirit. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit's power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus in his human form is doing these incredible miracles through the power of the Spirit. He raised Jesus from the dead. I'm glad there is a Holy Spirit because we wouldn't be here today if Jesus wasn't raised. But he came and on day three in that tomb, he says, here's my power, get up. It's like a jump start. You know, the Holy Spirit put his jumper leads on Jesus' body and brought him back to life. Again, not physically like we would have to do maybe to jumpstart a car, but spiritually, and Jesus returns from the dead. He then enters disciples because Jesus breathes on his disciples after his resurrection and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And they do. They become, if you like, animated. They become alive through the Spirit. And then there's a number of times, and we use this word, he fell on people, or he came upon people, but he came to empower them. He came to do something radical. So when the day of Pentecost arrived, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire appeared to them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And it was the first of five or six occurrences. It happens again in Acts chapter 4 in Jerusalem. After they prayed, this is the same people, but the place where they're meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And notice the impact. They speak the word boldly. He falls again in Samaria, Acts chapter 8. When the apostle in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. They placed their hands on those Samaritans, and they received the Holy Spirit. Wow. We see another example in Acts 10 in Caesarea. When Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard his message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. It's kind of like a pouring, right? Flooding down from heaven, the Holy Spirit. Another time in Acts 19, when Paul placed his hands on these people that said, we knew about John the Baptist, but we don't really know about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes on them, they speak in tongues and prophesy. Notice all these things that happen with boldness, with prophesying, with speaking in tongues, with courage, with power. A little bit later, we see that he guides leaders while they were worshiping the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one who speaks. I think you should send Barnabas and Saul to do this work, to do this church planting in another area. So he guides leaders. And finally, in the Old Testament, he comes and he inspires Scripture. The very Bible you read is breathed out by God. Again, the breath of God. Ruach is the Hebrew word for spirit. He is the breath of God. And he comes and he carries these men and women along who write the word. And it's not just sort of newspaper stuff, but it's eternal word of God. Well, I could actually spend probably the rest of the day, and I'm going to hint at some of this. Do you see why I showed that picture? I hope you do. Deep, eh? It's cool. Because I could go on. I could speak for hours about what is he called? The spirit of life, of truth, faith, glory, life, wisdom, revelation, promise, holiness, all those names. I could spend a while talking about, there's all these metaphors of who the Holy Spirit is, whether it's dove or wind or water, clothing, fire, etc. I could speak more about how he is a personal being. He's not an impersonal force. You can grieve him, you can resist him, etc. And you'll have to check the Facebook site for notes on all that and scripture verses later this afternoon if you're on the Ignite Youth Facebook group, because I'll have all that up there by this afternoon. But I want you to share with someone next to you what one new truth or what truth has struck you today about this person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Okay, there you go. How many of you like history at school? That's not a bad number, but it's certainly not everyone, right? And history's cool, but it's facts and figures, and the worst part of history is they say that we're just condemned to repeat it. Why? Because we don't think about it. We don't step back and say, so what do we learn from this? And we're not just here to do a history lesson, right? It's not just a history of the Spirit and the Bible. Because when we looked last week at how that there was perfect man created, fallen man was the result with Adam and Eve in the garden with their shenanigans, but a new man comes in Jesus. So the question today is, can you be a new man? Now, obviously, if you're a lady this morning, you're a bit worried now. You're thinking, where's Mark going with this? It's not gender specific, right? Can you be this new creation, this new person that we spoke a lot about last week? And how can you? Okay? I want to suggest that you can by the Spirit. The same Spirit who with Father and Son were involved in the creation of man, who gave breath to us, wants to, firstly, invade you. You have to let the Spirit invade you. Now, I want to suggest that he's a perfect gentleman. He isn't going to force himself on you. It's not going to happen one night when you're sleeping. He's not going to, like, pin you down. Nor is Kondwani going to pin you down, even though he's got the muscles to do it. But the Holy Spirit comes and he says, if you let me invade you, I will adopt you. The Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. When I open my life out up to God, he says, wow, I see you. I'm going to adopt you and make you part of my family. It's a really special day for me as a family, as a father today, because two of my sons, who are both adopted, Drew and Ofense, both have birthdays today. Round of applause for Ofense. Woohoo! Okay, that's not legal. I'm just responsible that it doesn't mess up, and I'm just fatherly in that sense. But here's the deal. Adoption is something that happens one time in our lives when the Spirit comes and says, you've responded to what Christ did on the cross, and I'm going to bring the signing power to make you a child of God. That doesn't happen by force. And I think most of you experienced that. And you don't have to do it over and over and over again. Secondly, he will own you. What? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Now, it's a bit of a warning for me, because if I move on this Spirit of God and I do something to this temple of God that's not appropriate, I'm not just messing with Asher and his family, I'm actually touching God. Because I can't have an I-it relationship with you because you're not an it. I can't even have an I-you relationship with you because you're not just a you. I have to have a I-thou relationship because in Asher lives God. The only relationship you can have with another human being who's a child of God is an I-thou relationship, because in you is the Spirit of God. The next time you're in danger, you just say to someone, touch me, God's going to whip your butt, sucker. And they were like, run. Because I don't want to be fighting God. I mean, he's like quite powerful. You know what I mean? Your body is a temple. And so I treat it well. I let the Spirit determine what I do with my body. I like, Spirit, this is yours. What do you want to do with my hands today? My feet today? My mouth today? My ears today? Oh, you want me to hear today? You speaking to me so I can use my lips and speak for you. Cool. You do that. Try and do it before big break, because after that I'm very sleepy. He will own you. He will fill you. Now, this is just part one this week. Part two is going to happen downstairs next week. As you heard Pastor Gloria talk about a special twist for next Sunday morning. It's going to be really awesome. It's kind of like one of those God Sundays. But it's all about how God invades you after you've become a Christian. And I don't want to steal any of that thunder. Pastor Ian is going to be sharing that, so we'll be experiencing that together. But I want to suggest that even if you've been baptized by the Spirit, God wants to come and fill you repeatedly. In fact, Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit, is in the present continuous tense. First it was history, now it's English lessons. What is the present continuous tense? It's now and it's ongoing. So be being filled by the Spirit of God. You know, don't get drunk with wine, which is going to control you, but let the Spirit control you. And so he wants to come and fill you. And maybe for some of you, he wants to do that today. Maybe it's during this week. Maybe it's at big break tomorrow, so that you can have the energy for those last two long, excruciatingly boring periods. Be filled with the Spirit. So let him invade you. You may have to ask, excuse me, would you come and invade my property? Would you come and take over? Because he's a perfect gentleman. Secondly, and that's what I've just been talking about, we'll be downstairs for that next week, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I've read all those instances in Acts, right? Six of them, where people received the baptism of the Spirit. More of that next week. Secondly, you need to let him grow you. Is he a gentleman? Is he going to grow you while you're sleeping? Well, physically, apparently you grow the most when you sleep. That's why teenagers are so tall, and you grow the most in your teenage years because you sleep so much. Well, that's the theory. Not if you go to bed at 3 a.m. Let him grow you, right? So he will come into your life, and he will change you. He will bring a few fruits with him. It's like his basket. And he says, oh, man, Drew, Trent, I got some fruit for you, man. You want some pawpaw? You're like, no, I don't like pawpaw. I don't like the texture. He says, oh, well, I actually meant patience. Like, you need some patience. Or, hey, you need some kindness. You need some goodness. You need some faithfulness. You need a little bit of gentleness, dude. You're like getting really ratty and angry. You need a little bit of self-control. How about a dose of love, joy, and peace and a mango? How about that? You know? Are you up for it? You keen? I've got these fruit to develop in your life, but you've got to partner with them. Allow him to work his fruit, to be praying for that. Maybe you need to each week take one and say, this is the week I'm going to see the fruit. And Drew comes to me this morning, daddy, look at what I got. And he's got this like little Tupperware, and he doesn't know, but I've been watering every day. You know, in grade two, you start with seeds, like those, these are kidney beans. I said to Debbie, there's no way those kidney beans, they look dry. They're not going to grow. But they're seeds. They're dry and dead. But now they're like, woo, look at me. I've got like a head and a face and I'm smiling. I'm like little sprouts and stuff. You know? Try it someday with beans. Not sampan beans after it's cooked. It needs to be pre-cooked, I think. He will come and he would bring forth life, the fruit of the Spirit. He will equip you. Not only does he come with a basket in this hand, he comes with a box in the other hand. He says, oh, Trent, by the way, you're munching on all that stuff, but I also got some gifts for you, you know? And like, would you like wisdom? Oh, yeah, that's cool. I'll have that. You know, Solomon was pretty wealthy and wise. And what about a word of knowledge? Faith, the gift of faith, gifts of healing, working on miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, to speak in different tongues and to interpret tongues. Wow. These gifts that you haven't claimed. This is nuts. How many of you got unopened gifts? No, you open them all. You know what I mean? You don't like, oh, well, I'll save some of those for next month. Drew's birthday today. Guess when he opened his presents? Yesterday. Forget about this day of his birthday. No, we're going to church early. No time to play with my games. Dude, I'm time traveling to get my presents. Broke every rule that every parent is passionate about in the world. Don't open those. And you know why parents do that? Because they hated growing up. Because they weren't allowed to have their presents the day before. You're not going to get it if I couldn't get it the day before. I love you. You have gifts from Jesus. An unredeemed gift voucher. Airtime. You know, like, oh, I got no airtime. But what's that piece of paper? Oh, yeah, no, that's a recharge voucher. You're going to put it on your phone? No, man. Like, why not? I don't know. I just use Cormies. No, open the gifts, silly. He will empower you. He will bring his power. Listen to Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit come on you, and you will be my witnesses. You know, like how hard it is to go to someone and say, like, wow, you know, what's your background? You know, did you ever, like, have a sense and an experience of God's presence? Have you ever felt like this is not all it is, but there's maybe something more in life? Like, wow, maybe, you know, it's like a bit paranormal. And they're like, yeah, I was thinking about that. You know, I went to that church once. You're like, oh, wow, that's really. And you begin to have courage and boldness, and you have this power in witnessing. Or if you're like, someone says, oh, you're a Christian. Not really. Kind of go to Ignite Youth. My dad's the senior pastor, but yeah, no, I'm not really. Like, no, man. It's like boldness. That's what the Spirit will bring to us, okay? He will empower you to live this life. Here's the last area, and it's not the last word on it. But let him help you. You know, sometimes people are desperately needing help, but they're like just, I don't know, I don't want to really ask anyone, you know. I don't want to make a nuisance of myself. I don't know if my friend will help. Meantime, the friend's got like so much money in their wallet, they're just dying for someone to say, please, can you buy me a Coke or something? They just, my wallet is so heavy and I'm dragging it around to school every day. It's making my bags heavy. Please, if I can just buy you some new clothes. Be like, no, I don't know if I can ask. You know? He's just like, let me help you. Don't do it yourself. He will teach you. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. If there's something you're struggling with, you're like, Holy Spirit, can you come and help me with this? I was in a moment this week of trying to get my mind around everything about the Spirit, and I actually stopped dead in my tracks, and I said, Holy Spirit, I'm kind of going to be speaking about you. Could you help me figure out what's really important? What do you want to say? Now, I'm not saying I heard perfectly, but it began to open up ideas of how I was overwhelmed with 250 slides and things the Spirit is and does to bring it down, nail it down. Ask for help from Kondwani and Gloria and even CK, who, by the way, is in Kenyan. She was texting us part of our meetings from a distance. And together we collaborated because you can ask for help. Turn to the person next to you and ask them for help. No, I'm just kidding. You've got to have something. You know what I mean? Like, gotcha. Ask for help. Some people love helping people. Can I tell you something about the Holy Spirit? He loves helping. He wants to help you. Okay? He will do things like he will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. He might raise you off the ground and move you into another place. Happened once to Paul, I think. It's a bit of a two ways of reading that. But the Spirit just took him with Peter or Paul there from the eunuch. Peter took him away and he appeared in a new place. It's like, whoa, dude. But he'll guide you. He'll say, do this, do that. You're wondering about next year. What should I study? Should I be a street sweeper or a doctor? That's an important question, that, because it's a lot less pressure being a street sweeper. All you have to do is fill up that bag. You know, you've got to, as a doctor, you've got to make sure you don't fill up any bags. You don't want no one dying on you. You know what I mean? So you've got to let the Spirit guide you into truth and be praying, Lord, lead me, guide me. and maybe a bit more close to home, is you need to let him comfort you. You will go through situations in life. You will go through storms, heartbreak, disaster. There's no guarantee. Getting saved is not like, okay, bypass. You know, if you play Monopoly, go straight to jail. Do not go past. Go, do not collect. How many hundred do you get? Not 10 million. Used to be $100 in my day. That doesn't go far. I mean, I promise you. Like, go straight. There's no, like, get out of jail free card. You know? But it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I don't go away, the comforting counselor will not come for you. Listen to this poem that I found this week. I don't know why, but you can only find this in an image, but you won't find this text anywhere. If you can try and Google and find it, I may be the first to ever type it up after the person who put this in a picture. But some say there's a man who dwells in the invisible, whom tens of thousands have testified has been present with them in their darkest hour. Though others may be present, only those in desperate need have felt his presence. He makes himself known to the lonely, the sad, the oppressed, and the dying. He holds them in his arms and whispers comfort in their ears. He talks like an old friend, knowing the most secret thoughts. He urges men and women to press on and not give up. He gives strength to the weak and hope to the dying. He stays with them all through the night. He never gives up and he never tires. His passion is for the lost and the needy. Others say he doesn't exist, or that he leaves when the trouble is past. But those who know him know that he is always there, urging them forward. He has been felt by dying men on battlefields. I've watched men die on battlefields, and they experience God very real, and it's almost tangible. It's like they've seen something that the rest of us are just not seeing. He has been with orphans on street corners, and he has been with prisoners on death row, and with widows left alone. He urges the broken back into relationships of trust. He never condemns, but convinces the redeemed of their right standing with God. He reminds the oppressed that the enemy now stands condemned and defeated. He has promised to teach the children of God all things concerning their hope and to remind them of the truth. He testifies of a Savior to all mankind. His name, in case you didn't get it, is the Comforter. He is the Holy Spirit. A gentleman, wanting to invade you, wanting to change you, wanting to help you. It's an offer. It's an invitation. It's like a, can I be your friend? You know, can I bring all these blessings? Can I bring fruit and gifts and power? Do you want it? It's all for free. It's Mohala. It's like, thanks for the offer, but I'm young now. I got a lot of time. You know, like, I got like long life. Maybe when I'm 80. That's cool, but you better then travel to the future and make sure you're alive at 80, because there isn't really a big, strong guarantee. So find a wormhole, or now let him invade you. Let him change you. Let him help you. Father, I want to thank you that for no benefit for yourself that we can discern, you move toward us. You send yourself. You come. You came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You came in the person of the Holy Spirit. He sent people to warn your children. Lord, we today stop in our tracks and we say, Lord, help us to allow you to move on us. Prepare our hearts in this week, Lord, for what awaits next Sunday morning, when we can have a dramatic encounter with God the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Spirit, for who you are. Thank you for how you lift up Jesus, how you glorify Father, how you always default to what's right and good in every child of Heavenly Father's life. Thank you for your power, your strength, your gifts, your grace. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you make us holy. In the awesome name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Next week will be next time, not next week because we're downstairs, but we'll be getting back to the gift of salvation in our time travel series. So may this be a significant week. May there be a butterfly effect this week where you do something that brings about a change in people's lives. Go well. Enjoy the week.